The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the Music Store.
Oh, I've missed that music. I hope you have as well. Welcome back to the Specials Podcast. We've had a little break over Easter, just gearing ourselves up to take on Britain's Got Talent with a vengeance and Eurovision, all in the company of Rob Dixon. Hey, Rob.
Good afternoon.
Do you like that build-up?
Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been in America. I've been to Disney, and I've watched quite a lot of reality stuff while I've been away. The Voice is in full swing there. I've been watching a lot of The Voice. Funny, because I don't think they quite buy into the same kind of conspiracy theories that viewers here do. Although there was one act, and I must drive my missus barmy, because even there I was like, look, the mix of music to Voice is all wrong. Look, you can't even hear this guy. He's really good. And she was like, oh, just leave it alone.
Just leave it alone.
I was like, yeah, okay, fine.
You shouldn't count better, it? You could have been our Florida correspondent.
Could have been good. I've still been keeping abreast of the action. We're going to talk about Britain's Got Talent, of course. We're also going to talk about Eurovision. It's not far away, is it? And we're going to tell you about a special podcast we've got planned for that. So Rob's putting more and more markets out as we speak. We have got WWE, if that's your thing. We've also got a market on the next Newsnight presenter after Jeremy Paxman folded his laptop down for the last time, should we say. I was going to say packed his pen away, but X Factor, we've got Next Bond, we've got EastEnders, we've got Spotty, plenty to talk about. Should we start with BGT?
I've been
catching up on some of the acts. In fact, some of the acts that are near the top of the market were on before I departed for a couple of weeks. So we'll look at them as we go down the betting. The favourites in the market, Calabro at 9-2. This is the kind of operatic boy band. As soon as they started singing, Simon Cowell's eyes lit up. He's already got one version of this kind of band, hasn't he, who've been very successful all over the world. So I'm imagining the pound signs were either flashing in his eyes or the till noise was ringing in his ears.
Or he can see a replacement.
The decent one. Yeah, and you know, everything's got its own shelf life. And I thought they were really good. They came across really well beforehand, like really, you know, nice bunch of lads. And they kind of only been practicing for a little while together. And they came out and did this song, which was, you know, no one knew. And everyone absolutely loved. They can change it up for the semi-finals and the final, can't they? They're going to be there or thereabouts, aren't they, Rob? 92?
Oh, yeah, deserve it. I think they deserve favourites.
Yeah, I think so.
From what we've seen so far, anyway.
Yeah, 9-2. Paddy and Nico, it's the OAP and the Spanish Dancer. It seems a little bit wrong, doesn't it? But I'm sure it's all above board. 6-1 for Paddy and Nico. Darcy Oak, he's the Canadian magician, 8-1, who did the dove thing. He's got loads up his sleeve. For future rounds.
When's Kellner back to this podcast anyway?
He didn't even help you out, did he?
I couldn't even be bothered. I hadn't even seen him.
This Darcy Oak, he travelled to Britain from Canada. He's not over here living here. He's Canadian, lives in Canada. He travelled over specifically for this show. You know, this guy is not like a kind of, you know, a newbie, a fresh behind the ears kind of magician who's trying to get a break. He's got a career over in Canada. He's featured on TV over there. He's got his own YouTube channel. He's done tours around, you know, Canada and further afield. So he's got no end of tricks that he can use in later rounds. So there seems to be no problem with foreigners coming over here. He's a good-looking lad as well, of course. That won't help. I like the 8-1 about him, Rob.
Yes, I've always
said magician, haven't I? Every season I say magician, and I always back it in. I think, what was magician in the
magician
winning category? It was about 8-1.
Magician used to be about 50-1.
No, it's a bit shorter.
And then about 2-3 years ago, Simon said, oh, I'm doing the show, I'd love to get a magician.
Yeah.
And that sort of...
Do you think he wants to break the Canadian market, Simon? He's probably not got many fingers in the Canadian market.
No, he didn't seem to. When I was out there a few months ago, he didn't really seem to get mentioned.
We're so well-travelled.
Very well-travelled, yeah. We are so well-travelled.
So, yeah, Darcy Oak, liked him.
That's because we get paid to do this podcast, that's why.
Bailey McConnell was a young lad with a guitar singing 10-1. Didn't really inspire me much. I mean, you said he was trending a lot on Twitter, wasn't he?
Yeah, the Saturday night and a bit of the Sunday was trending, so I think based on what we've seen with few previous weeks, he's definitely got sort of more. He's definitely trending a lot more than any of the other contestants.
Yeah,
over the
wouldn't be a big surprise to see him somewhere near the final, would it?
No,
I mean the final, like 3 or 4. I mean, Lucy Kay, she was the really nervous girl who sang an operatic number and wowed everyone.
I think there's potential there with her, isn't there, to do a few things different. It's another one where especially you tend to feel that she's going to have to do something different, I feel.
Yeah, something amazing. Is she going to wow us any more than she's already wowed us, my wonder.
Yeah, the sort of first impression. It's difficult to get that second impression with certain acts, and I think she sort of falls into that a little bit.
Yeah. James Smith, 12-1, he was a teenage lad singing. Same old, really. Kings and Queens, the Latin dance troupe, 12-1. Yeah. I can't really see another dance troupe winning. You know, I think everyone's mind's eye, you know, I know other bands, other dance troupes have done well, but diversity kind of, they almost ruined it for everyone else,
You've
I think.
You've got diversity, the other ones that won as well, didn't you?
Two lads, they were good.
You just can't, you have to be something amazingly special to be a dance troupe to win this.
Yeah, I think
a bit of sort of Latin dancing, I don't think, is really what we require.
I liked Light Balance. Having just come back from Disney, it would have fit in well at Disney. There were a few similar things there. 12-1, it was, anyone doesn't remember this one, it was the kind of Ukrainian guy came out, and there was a bit of backstory, obviously, with the troubles in Ukraine, and then it kind of turned out he wasn't on his own. There was a big troop behind him, and I thought that was pretty good. I just wonder, having been the show being won by, I think it were Hungarian, weren't they?
Yeah.
Whatever they were called. Attraction. Were they called Attraction?
Yeah, they were.
Were they? You sure?
Definitely, 100% Attraction.
On an advert at the minute, aren't they? I'm not sure another, you know, foreign dance group type, even if it is a bit quirky, will win. But I think they could go fairly far. Mickey Dumoulin was a singer. He's what, 14-1. Then you got 20-1 bar. Nothing really else. Nothing more at the bottom of the market that's worth a dabble, is there really? I don't think.
No,
Wookie Hole Turbo Jets. What were they all about?
We loved Wookie Hole Turbo Jets. Got a very interesting story.
Right.
But the bloke, I presume they're not getting through to the final because he's come out and given Simon Cowell and the show a right slate.
Has he?
Saying it's a joke. I was asked to be on the show.
Right.
But they requested that they wanted to be on, and they gave them sort of 20 seconds, and he's basically urging a boycott of the show and saying that you shouldn't really just take part in it because it's all a bit rubbish.
You could add another couple of zeros.
Writing an open letter to circus acts across the UK, he explained that their performance was altered for the TV version being reduced from 2 minutes to 20 seconds and the music being replaced. They asked us to do our spectacular cycling act, which culminates in seven people riding one bike. The act is normally 7 minutes long, but we were asked to devise a version for TV. We choreographed an act for them using modern upbeat music. At the end of it, Simon Cowell said, "To make things worse, I don't like circuses and I don't like clowns, even though there were no clowns in the routine." If that was not enough, as the troupe walked off, he also shouted, "I hate these type of acts."
I'm just watching another one who's got quite low in the betting. This is Edward Pinder, the knife thrower. 11-year-old Edward Pinder threw knives at Simon Cowell.
He did throw a knife at Simon Cowell. Yeah, unfortunately he missed.
That's fair enough. That's a good.
I'll be honest with you though. He was throwing the knives from a distance.
Oh, that's what I'm about to say. I mean,
he was throwing knives from a distance. I throw darts when I'm playing darts.
I mean, it's ridiculous, that, isn't it? I mean, it's harder to hit the person than not hit the person.
To be quite honest, if he had a little bit of a longer arm, he could have just reached out and put it to the side of him.
I mean, fair play to the lad. I mean, he's 11. I'm not going to criticise him. That's just crazy.
No, that's not
even an act.
I'll be honest with you. He's 11 years old. He was terrible. At least blindfolded.
Yes.
And then throw it back over your shoulder.
Something.
I want to
like
see that.
Yeah. I'd rather him stand quite a long way back and do it with like rubber knives. You know what I mean? I'm not bothered about the knife sticking in. We know that.
Again, what's the point of throwing a rubber knife?
Just because at least, you know,
where do you buy rubber knives?
If they hit people, it's fine anyway. So what would your bet be right now?
Darcy Oak, because I believe there's more potential to do other things.
Yeah, I do.
And I think there's the only problem I've got is the fact that he's Canadian, and there was a backlash last year from a Hungarian act winning.
Was there?
Britain's Got Talent.
Was there?
Why are they?
Oh, only from like your Daily Mail type people.
Well, yeah, but the Daily Mail people will still be here, won't they? Mm. And I just think that there's.
But Canadians more palatable to those kind of people than
Commonwealth,
East European.
Yeah, they're in the Commonwealth, they're fine. But
the Queen would love that, actually. That's a good point, actually, that, Robbie, now.
What?
That they're in the Commonwealth. The Queen would love that.
Yeah,
Queen would love a bit of a trip to Canada with Darcy Oak.
Yeah, maybe so. I just think there's a couple of negatives. A, the fact that it's not a British act.
Mm.
And B, it could be. They tend to get people on the show. I know it's not all what it seems, but you tend to want to see people who have got this talent and want to go on, not somebody who's got TV shows in Canada.
It's a career move. It's
the same as if Dynamo or Darren Brown over here.
That'd be funny. Yeah, well, you know, I think you've made it, guys. All right. Mean if they went to move to Canada and went Canadian?
He's already a star in his country. So
I do know it's called Canada, by the way. I was just joking about it. It's called Canadia. I know it's not called that.
Canadia.
Okay, that's good. That's entertaining enough. I'll get back into that then. Now I'm back. Eurovision, it's fast approaching. A week on Saturday, the big shindig takes place, and we're all looking forward to it. Armenia, 7-4 favourite. Sweden, 11-4. This has changed a bit since I was last looking at the website. By the way, I can't look at the website in America. Every time you try and look at the William Hill website, this big thing comes up saying, you're in a foreign country, you're not allowed to watch it.
Yeah, we were allowed to in Canada. We couldn't do it in America.
8-1 Denmark, 12-1 Ukraine, 12-1 United Kingdom, Norway, 14s. Azerbaijan 16-1, Hungary 16-1, Austria 20s, 25-1. Bar, tell me what's been going on here.
It's been a bit of a drift for Armenia, really.
They were done when I left.
They were done. They got a short, I think, it was about 4-6.
Wow.
We're in the middle of the rehearsals at the moment. Mm-hmm. Rehearsals started on Monday. They carry forward to next, obviously the first semi-final is next Tuesday, so there'll be a final rehearsal for the semi-final one acts over the weekend. We're currently, today is the second rehearsal for the first semi-finalists.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot of the favourite acts are in the first semi-final. You've got Armenia, you've got Sweden.
Right, yeah.
I think Ukraine are in there as well, and Azerbaijan. So it is pretty tough at the moment for the first heat. It's not really coming together.
How many go through from each semi-final?
There's 10. 10 out of each 16 or 17.
So you've got all your qualification odds there that Rob's put out.
Yeah,
a lot of them are obviously odds on. In fact, the first 10 in the 11 in the betting are all odds on, I believe. And then you get Albania, the first odds against price. So.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the qualification is concerned, we're obviously pricing these up. We're doing them in running on the Tuesday and Thursday nights. And you'll be able to bet yes and no for every contestant or country, sorry.
Good.
As well as the outright prices. So it's good. I mean, you're back on the drift now, 7-4. They struggled a little bit with their sort of staging and lighting. I think there's a bit more to come, but I think the market's probably now just correcting itself. There's been a big sort of push for Sweden from sort of 5-1 into 11-4. A lot of each way money on Sweden. Obviously, it's each way. It's probably a bet to nothing with Armenia being so short. So Denmark, we've seen a bit of money for. They've been double figures. They're now into 8-1. A few drifters, Ukraine and Norway, were both around the sort of 10-1 mark a couple of weeks ago. They're drifting out. Still decent support for the UK, actually. Molly Smitten Down. She's been doing quite a lot of TV in Europe as well now.
Right.
So obviously she's well liked. She's well known in Denmark as well, which is going to help. Graham Norton show tonight, I think she's on.
Oh, right, okay.
As well, so I like the song. I just think it would be a better song sung by a different country. I just think it's tough. I think the jury will like it, and I think UK will get decent votes from the jury. I just got a sneaky feeling the telly voting will go against us. Top 10, though. Definitely top 10 in the UK this year.
Yeah. You think so, yeah?
Yes.
Definite top 10.
Definite top 10, yeah.
Interesting. 4-5 the price for
a top 10.
4-5 for a top 10.
I think at the moment that'd probably be my bet, but I can't see it. We are 7-4 that it gets a top 5, but I just can't see it. I think it was somewhere in that 5th to 10th. There'll be some finishing position betting out for the UK when we speak again next week, and obviously I'll be putting forward the 6th to 10 finishing position spot.
Yeah, fair enough. Next week we're going to have a special Eurovision podcast with contributors in the arena itself. Well, near it anyway. They'll be they won't be in the studio, is what I mean. They'll be they'll have watched some of the rehearsals and the semi-finals, hopefully. So stay tuned for that. We'll tweet out the links as usual, or they'll be on our Audio Boo page that William Hill has. If you haven't looked at that yet, go and check it out. Next up, shall we talk about Jeremy Paxman's replacement as a permanent host of Newsnight? Laura Kunzberg is the even money favourite, and probably not a bad bet, to be fair, because a lot of people in the broadsheet world are talking about her as being the next one to take over. Elsewhere in the betting, Emily Metlis is 4-1, Eddie Mayer is 7s, Nick Robinson 8-1, Gavin Esler 10-1, John Humphreys 10s, Kirsty Walk 10-1, Piers Morgan 14s, Adam Bolton 16-1, David Dimbleby, Jeremy Vine, Stephanie Flanders, Andrew Neil, oh sorry, not Andrew Neil, Stephanie Flanders 20s, and then 25-1. Bigger the rest of them. Any thoughts on that? I think the favourite's a fair favourite there.
Yeah, I think you're looking probably the top three or four on the betting. I think out the four, you'd probably maybe rule out Nick Robinson. I think the political side of it would maybe they want to keep him sort of there instead of hosting. I mean, the two at the top, they've both done it before. They've both replaced Paxman when he's been on holiday and stuff. So I think...
So the
money's been more for Emily Maitlis than Laura Kustenberg, so I'd go just on based on the outside of the two. I think it's 4-1. Eddie Mayer, you can make a case for Eddie Mayer at 7-1. I know.
Yeah, they say that Laura Kunzberg, basically the people inside sources, I guess you'd like to say that she was brought in when all the problems were announced. So when Jeremy Paxman first told the production team that he was leaving, she was brought in then. So they're saying it's not a coincidence that she was brought in to become the next presenter. I think she is the main danger to Emily Maitlis, although she's fantastic. I think she'd probably get it if it wasn't for Laura Kunzberg. So it might be worth, if you're looking to a bet on this, it might be worth having a bet on Laura Kunzberg and a little saver on Emily Maitlis. Yeah, Kirsty Walk's probably a little bit too old, I guess, to talking about a long-term kind of successor to this. I mean, she's down at 10-1, isn't she?
Yeah.
There's a lot of chat about it being a woman, though, aren't
they? If that's the way they are going female, it's not really. I mean, Stephanie Flanders, you can thing. Obviously, Sophie Raworth does BBC Breakfast, but you can't really see her moving on to Newsnight. And then again, Fiona Bruce, Kate Silverton.
There's one you haven't put in the betting, Rob.
Go on, man.
And it's a presenter called Michelle Hussain. She's on the Today programme on Radio 4, and she is one of the relief presenters of Newsnight.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. It might be worth having a look at her.
Yeah, I'll stick her in.
M-I-S-H-A-L Hussain. Yep. Gavin Esler is probably the most likely of the men to take over, but he left Newsnight in January and was replaced by Kunzberg, so you wouldn't really be seeing him being drafted in.
It'd be a surprise for him to swap back again, wouldn't it? So, I mean, the way you see it, there's never smoke without fire, isn't there? The fact that they bought Laura Kunzberg in would make me think that that she is the heir apparent for the job, and this tends to go that way in jobs like this, doesn't it? Sort of jobs for the boys, or jobs for the girls in this case.
What about, I mean, here's another one. Krishnan Guru Murphy at 25-1. I mean, he started out at the BBC. I mean, he's one of the main guys on Channel 4 News, but Jon Snow's the main man there. 25-1's a big price. I think he'd fit really well, because he's got gravitas, hasn't he? And he's got that charisma about him as well. You know, you often see him on panel shows.
I mean, it depends what they're going to do with Newsnight. Are they, now that Paxman's going, are they going to turn it, are they just going to carry on in the same sort of format, or could they sort of make it a bit more, I don't think they want to make it a sort of magazine-y type evening show, but they could... They've got the chance, I feel, now to sort of change things around a bit, and obviously depending on the change of tack, then maybe Krishnan Guru Murphy at 25.
Yeah, I quite like that as a little. I mean, I know I've put about four there, but I like that.
I mean, there's some earlier on in
Russell
the
Brand 500-1.
But not Russell Brand. They're not going to go, when you look a bit further, they're not going to go for David Dimbleby at 20.
No,
two. You can. Adam
With all
Bolton,
due respect,
Adam
too Bolton, old, I think, really.
Adam Bolton, 16.
He's too Sky, isn't he, really?
He's very Sky. Piers Morgan's too. Yeah. He'd
love it. I mean, that would be a dream move for him, to be fair.
Well, he's leaving CNN, isn't he?
Yeah, I wonder if Paxman will go the other way. I wonder if Paxman's eyeing up a bit of a stateside.
I'm not sure Paxman would allow. I don't know. Mm. I'm not sure Paxman. I think they like him in America, but talk show host to be a bit more sort of sympathetic to people's needs, don't they? going on and going, well, it's your own fault, isn't it? It's not going to help.
BBC Sports Personality of the Year. Stephen Gerrard shortened drastically. Now he's back out to 10 to 11. A bit short that now with the predicament that Liverpool find themselves in. Obviously, we're recording this on Friday. The Manchester City Everton game at Goodison is on Saturday evening, so we'll probably know if the title's won or lost by then. And if Man City have won that game at Everton, it's pretty likely they're going to win the title. So that price might drift out. I can't have him at that price. If you backed him at a big price, then bully for you. But
yeah,
I'm nicking this off Dave Kellner, but I do quite like Ronnie O'Sullivan. I know we're in the middle of the Snooker World Championships at the moment, and if he wins that, I think there's a. If he can just gather a little bit of kind of public appreciation, that 10-1 might not be a bad price.
In ever a poor year for sport, you're always looking at your internet gambles and campaigns. And to be fair, this year is rife for a campaign. Is Steven Gerrard, obviously captain of Liverpool, if they win the league for the first time in 23-24 years or something, it'd be fantastic achievement for him. Don't really think he's not really the star of the team, is he? I think more sort of Suarez and even sort of Sturridge have had miles better seasons than Gerrard. But the fact that it's sort of a long serve in the same way it was like a Tony McCoy award, it's like a long service award for what he's done. You'd say the same about O'Sullivan. I mean, countless world championships, just looks in unstoppable form at the moment, heading towards another final. Then you always feel with O'Sullivan, I don't think the public would probably appreciate him more. You're sort of casual viewer. You only get maybe one or two events on the BBC every year, so it tends to sort of bring out this demeanour, a bit like the Andy Murray thing, where it didn't seem overly likeable as a person. I think if you watch it, I mean, he tends to have a laugh and things sort of off camera, but you never really see that. But I'll tell you something, if O'Sullivan gets a nomination this year, then his price will drastically shorten.
Yeah, I think so as well.
From this 10-1.
There's been much bigger than 10-1 around, so you might balk at that price a little bit. But
I mean, Lewis Hamilton, again, 11-4. Mercedes are looking far superior at the moment in the...
It's just about the car, though,
in the Constructors' Championship.
It's obvious it's about the car.
And remember the year that he did win the championship, then he didn't win Sports Personality.
The thing is with that, I mean, I get it, it's a really popular sport, but... So last year he didn't have a very good car, he didn't do very well. This year he's got a good car, he's doing well. I mean, everyone.
I think you've got to be...
It's obvious.
The mentality is that if Liverpool don't win the league... And O'Sullivan doesn't win the world championship.
Yeah, who else is there?
Where are you going?
Because good point.
There isn't really much else.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Tour de France starts off in the UK. There might be a groundswell of love for that again.
Yeah, but I mean, Chris Froome didn't pole very well last year, did he? That was the problem. Obviously, Andy Murray for Wimbledon, but he's struggling this year with sort of injury and a bit of form. I suppose at 10-1 each way, you'd think he might be able to sneak. I mean, he's still going to be one of the favourites for Wimbledon, isn't he? So, yeah. Then you get down to your sort of Lizzie Arnold, Kelly Gallagher, who are your Winter Olympians. Rory McIlroy hasn't really done anything in the golf world this year. And then you're back to what we discussed before, sort of Mo Farah now at 40-1. But
Rob, I've got a question for you.
Go on, man.
Who killed Lucy Beale?
Well... That is a very good question.
Thanks. When do we find out who killed Lucy
Beale?
We
don't find out for ages over ages.
Forget it.
But the latest thing is that Les Coker, the dodgy funeral director, is allegedly
drumming up his own business. That's pretty
up his own business. Now, if I can find it, I've got some sort of half an exclusive for you, but you'll like this.
Half an exclusive. They're the kind of exclusive. I don't like full exclusives. I like just a half of one.
Do you know what? I can't find it.
Well,
this is the worst bit. I've just got a new phone, and it's an absolute nightmare to work.
What kind of phone is it?
It's still an iPhone, but I just can't.
iPhone 5?
Yeah. I can't find what I've done with it.
Okay, well,
but it basically said that Les Coker kills. That's what you need.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Where did you find that from?
Well, I read the tweet I got.
You're not revealing your source?
No.
Okay.
So, obviously, this is a spoiler alert.
Yes.
So, people who don't want to know, please listen away now.
Yes.
For the people that do, there will be two murders this year in EastEnders. The murders, including Lucy's, will be committed by the same person. The murders will not be linked until the third, and then the show will have its first serial killer storyline. The killer will be outed on New Year's Eve 2014, and there will be two further deaths.
Oh.
The killer will have access to the square and be trusted by all. The killer will be, over the next 2 months, established as a regular and will be the least likely person to be the killer. The motive for the murders is greed and financial desperation, mental health, and it will open up a case that will result in finding out that the killer may have murdered a further 7 people before moving to the square. So, the funeral director, what a great motive that is. Mm-hmm. He's a funeral director. He can bury the people and nobody will ever think wiser.
No. And loads of places to hide them, just in coffins, in his own... coffin making room.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, he's only even money, but I like it.
Even money.
I tell you what, Rob.
If you want to back an even money shot for the next 12 months, that is your even money shot.
I don't know why this is reminding me of this, but do you remember those Star Wars specials that you put out ages ago?
Yeah, they all.
The in-play guys got stuck into Harrison Ford and...
Carrie Fisher.
And it's paid out, hasn't it?
Yeah, they all
what
paid out.
They
yeah, they announced
out?
The... For people who don't know, the new Star Wars film, which is Star Wars Episode...
93. 7.
They announced the cast list with a number of people reprising their roles. So Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia and Harrison Ford as...
Han Solo.
Wow. Amongst others.
You put out some big prices.
No Darth Vader yet.
Yeah.
They're both double figures, yeah. Harrison Ford. I think they're 10-1 and 12-1 rings a bell.
Very nice. Well done. If you took advantage of that.
You're back to winner. Congratulations.
I've got another question for you.
Come on.
Who wins, Big E or Wade Barrett? You don't have to answer that.
Who cares?
We've got WWE this weekend. Last time we had WWE betting, there were some odds against winners and some decent prices kicking about.
There was a 1-33 loser as well.
Yes, which was nice for you. That was when The Undertaker lost his streak, whatever they call it. The Intercontinental title is between Big E and Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett, a 1-7 shot, Big E, 4-1. Bray Wyatt is taking on John Cena in the Steel Cage match. John Cena's 2-1, Bray Wyatt 4-11. Paige is taking on Tamina Snuka, not like that, Snuka, in the Divas Championship, 1-12 Paige. Snuka is 6-1. Daniel Bryan versus Kane in the World Heavyweight title, 1-12 Bryan, 6-1 Kane. Alexander Rusev versus R-Truth and Xavier Woods in a 2-1 handicap match, 1-20 Alexander Rusev and the Truth and Woods. 8-1. The Truth and Woods don't often go together, do they, really? Evolution, golf joke for you there. Evolution versus The Shield, 11-10 Evolution and 4-6 The Shield in a 6-man tag team match. All results to be confirmed by WWE.com.
Yeah, fine.
Done. Okay.
Pile of crap, isn't it?
Not when you get a 1-33 shot, chinning every acca that anyone's put on
though,
it.
Isn't it?
Don't bite the hand that feeds, Robert.
That is dirty money, isn't it? Don't like it. Never have liked it.
Dirty money. Shall we call it a day, then?
Yeah, let's call it a day.
Thank you, Rob.
Pleasure.
Good to be back. Thanks for listening and downloading the podcast. If you're having a bet on any of the special markets that we've talked about, then best of luck. If you want to tweet us, it's @reality_Rob, and I'm @LeePhelps. Ta-da. Thanks, mate. Shall I leave that bit in at the end?
Yeah.
All right, dirty money. I like that.
Dirty money. Fine.
Dirty money.
Hashtag dirty money.
I might put that on the podcast.
Yeah.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling.
Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.